The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, choir, Ben and Sarah. Beautiful. God is holding on to me, and He is good. Well, missed you last week. Appreciate the opportunity to be in Phoenix. Had a meeting down there, and I know as Damien continued the series, we've been in this series. This is the fifth week. We started out this series, a new year, new you, with the opportunity of vision and seeing what God wants to do in our life and seeing what God wants to do in the life of our church. And if you remember the illustration, it was the little girl on the boat to Catalina that said to her dad, "Daddy, look," or she said, "Daddy, I can look further than I can see." And that's where we need to be as individuals, looking but not knowing everything that God's going to do. It's where we need to be as a church. We told you that toward the end of this, we were going to share something with you, and it was going to be next week, and then somebody reminded me that next week is Super Bowl Sunday, and I can't imagine that somebody actually suggested that there are those among us who would be so faithless to God that they might not come to church on Super Bowl Sunday. But argue as I would, they said, no, let's do it the next week. So we're going to start a series on Joshua. And Joshua is a book about battles and blessings. And it's going to apply to you and apply to the church. So the second week of February, we have something we want to share with you, and I hope that you'll plan to be a part. We began with vision, and then we talked about, from the series, the cost of that vision. And remember, we looked at Jesus' passage when he said, you have to love me more than anybody else, you have to be willing to take up your cross, and you have to forsake everything else if you're going to follow me. So if we're going to live life with his vision, it is going to cost us. And then we studied the scriptures about a commitment, that we got to stay with this. And we looked at Daniel. And Daniel taught us something very, very significant. And that is, when God draws a line in the sand, don't go across it. Last week, I know you enjoyed hearing from Damien as he shared with us also the courage. Daniel's friend, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and them saying to Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. We will not bow down, we will not bend, we will not break. We are going to serve our God. Well, today, as we bring this to a close, I want to quote this great theologian, Mike Tyson. I don't think I've ever quoted Mike Tyson in my life from the pulpit. But I read this and I thought, you know, this may be the smartest thing he's ever said. He said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Well, he ought to know. But then I thought about that, and I thought every one of us had been punched in the mouth. And every one of us had that plan. We knew what we were going to do, and all of a sudden, we get punched in the mouth where you feel like there is nothing you can do. You feel like you're boxed in and there's no way out. The end of the month is coming, but the end of the money has already been reached. You know, we understand that we have phrases between a rock and a hard place. You know, up a creek without a paddle. We're talking about being in a predicament that we don't know how to get out of. A predicament that we don't know what to do with. It might be related to your job. Might be related to marriage, might be related to a relationship or a career in any form or fashion, but you get into this tight spot and don't know what to do. Sometimes we create it ourselves. I create most of my own crises. And sometimes it's something that comes right out of the blue. Well, this morning, I want to close this series by looking at one of the greatest predicaments in the life of the Israelites. In fact, this is a predicament that God saw them through, and they still celebrate it today. Hundreds, thousands of years later, they still celebrate the fact that God removed them and made a way in this predicament. I can sum it up in two words and you'll know it. It's called the Exodus. And when you look at what was going on in the nation of Israel, and you see them as they make the Exodus from Egypt, you can see why they would celebrate to this day the Passover. The Bible says in Exodus 14, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Hahiroth and Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall camp facing it by the sea.'" Now here's the problem. Baal Zephon was a geographical cul-de-sac. It was a dead-end street. Get in your mind what Israel is faced with. First of all, to the north. All right? To the north, you had the massive stone structures of Egypt and their fortresses. To the south, there was nothing but desert. There was no water, there was no food, there was no way to survive. To the west, you had Pharaoh's army coming your way. And to the east, you had the Red Sea. It was almost no matter what you did, you were going to die. You run into the sea, you're going to die. You run to Pharaoh's army, you're going to die. You run into the desert, you're going to die. You run back to Egypt, you're going to die. They are in a predicament. And God wants to show them victory. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't tell you the rest of the story, but you know the rest of the story. You know that God parts the Red Sea, and the children of Israel cross the waters of the Red Sea, and God closes the Red Sea to where the Egyptian army drowns and saves them. I believe the story happened exactly as the Bible says it did. It says that the waters parted, that God made a divine dam on each side, and Israel went across. I read a story about where, oh boy, He is an older guy. He had been a believer for a long, long time, and he loved God and loved God's word. And this young preacher came to their church, and he wasn't quite as convinced of things. And he sat with this old man, and he questioned the old man about things and about his belief in the Bible. And the old man, "Yes, I believe everything in the Bible, all of the Bible. It's exactly as it happened." And the guy said, "Well, what about the Red Sea?" Man said, "I believe God parted the Red Sea." He said, "Well, you know, technically in the Hebrew, the word Red Sea could be the Sea of Reeds." And the man said, "Hun," he said, "yeah, the Sea of Reeds was only 6 inches deep. And if it's the Sea of Reeds, God didn't have to part the water." And the guy said, "Man, that is the greatest news I've ever heard in my life." And the young scholar said, "What do you mean, the greatest news? Doesn't that destroy your thinking?" And he said, "No, it just tells me that God drowned the entire Egyptian army in 6 inches of water." Well, I believe it. If God made it, God can do what he wants to. And he parted the water and created the miracle. And folks, when we are in a cul-de-sac, when we find ourselves at a dead end, let's look back at Israel to see what they did, the principles they practiced, and let's put them into our lives so that we can do the same thing. Here's what the Bible says. Number one, if you're in a cul-de-sac, a dead end, and you don't know what to do, you go where God leads you to go. All right? You go where God leads you to go. Now, remember, the Israelites have been in captivity 430 years. Let me ask you something. What do you know about the faith of your family from 430 years ago? I don't know anything. I don't know if they were Christians or not. 430 years ago, I don't even know who was in my family. These people have been captives in Egypt for so long that the stories you and I see in the Bible, now they probably were passed down from generation to generation, but these people have been in Egypt for so long that the chances are very likely that they have embraced the pagan gods of the Egyptians. They have forgotten the faith of their fathers. They have turned from God. They are in a situation where God is coming to them. They haven't known anything but slavery. And I think they had forgotten God. So here they are. They've been led out of Egypt. The 10 plagues have already taken place. Moses leads them out of Egypt. Now they are in the predicament of this cul-de-sac. They have the massive buildings of Egypt behind them. They have Pharaoh on one side of them, the desert on the other side, and the Red Sea on the other side. How did they get there? How did they get to where they were in the cul-de-sac? Well, look at what the Bible says. God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea, and the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Underline those words. God led the people toward the Red Sea. They didn't make a mistake. This was not some miscalculation. They didn't take a wrong turn. They had GPS, God's positioning system. And God led them right there into the cul-de-sac. Why? Why does God do this? Well, the same reason he does it to you and me. You know, you think about the last time you were in a dead-end situation, a cul-de-sac of a circumstance. Why does God allow that to come into our lives? To teach us to trust him. I want to give you three key takeaways today. And the first one is this. When you become a believer, God enrolls you in the school of faith and you never graduate. All right? God enrolls you in the school of faith and it is a school that you will never graduate from. Faith is not a talent you are born with. Faith is a lesson that you learn and God is the teacher. So you need to remember they're in the cul-de-sac because God led them there. But look at the rest of it. It says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land and the waters were divided. What does that tell me? It tells me that God never takes me where he will not take care of me. If God guides me somewhere, he goes with me there. And if you don't follow God, you are out on your own. So go where God leads you to go. I think our prayer, every time our feet hit the floor on the mornings, ought to be, God, today I make a declaration of dependence upon you. I will go wherever you lead me, and I know that you will walk with me, and you will help me once we get there. Folks, you can't cross the Red Sea until you come to the Red Sea. God could not do this miracle until the children of Israel got there. The greatest way to know God and experience God is to go where God calls you to go. Which takes me to the second thing. And that is, you do what God tells you to do. Do what God tells you to do. Think about the children of Israel in this situation. They can hear the horses and the hoofbeats of the horses coming their way. I'm guessing in the gleaming of the sun, they can see the glittering shields of Pharaoh's army and the glint off of the swords and the spears as Pharaoh's army comes against them. They might be able to feel the heat of Pharaoh's eyeballs himself, who is so angry that he has let them go. The children of Israel in this situation are literally facing the last moments of their lives with no way out. How would you respond? How does Moses respond? You know, I think if I was Moses and you guys were the Red Sea, I'd say, run! I don't know where you go, or maybe I would say, does anybody have a white flag we could wave? Because there's no way out of this. If you go to Pharaoh's army, you're going to die. You go to the desert, you're going to die. You go back to Egypt, you're going to die. You try to get across the Red Sea, you're going to die. But look what the scripture says. Moses said to the people, "Fear not." You know, I read that this week, and I just kind of fixated on it. And I thought about the children of Israel when Moses stood up and said, "Fear not." And I'm thinking, is that all you got, Mo? Fear not? Is that all you've got? Your best is fear not? I can just hear some Jewish Johnny Cash singing, "I hear the train a-coming, it's coming round the bend. Egypt is about to stick their swords in our back end." Nope. Fear not. Moses, is that all you got? I got another song in a little bit. You'll enjoy it, all right? I'm auditioning for the praise team. Moses isn't quite done, though. It even gets better. Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, when I read this, again, you got to understand, my mind is a playground. And it just goes wacko sometimes, bouncing off different things. And I thought, you know, Moses sounds like some positive thinking preacher right here. Fear not, stand firm, and watch God, and send me your money. And I'm thinking, oh, man. Basically, what he's saying is, hey, be confident. Don't be afraid. Don't run. Be calm. Stand still. Stand firm. Be confident. Now, here's the question. I make a slight of Moses here, but why could he give them that kind of advice? I mean, the heat is on. The end is near. And the one man who is not in a panic is Moses. Why? Because God had spoken to Moses. You see, here is takeaway number two. When you go where God tells you to go, you will hear what God has to say. If you don't go where God wants you to go, first you're on your own without his protection, but you are also without the opportunity to hear what he says. You're in disobedience. So when you go where God tells you to go, you hear what God has to say. Now, you've got to read the scripture. In fact, I challenge you, read Joshua and read Exodus, and I just finished reading Isaiah in the Message translation. I'd never done that before in my devotional readings, but it's a very readable thing, and it's very accurate, but it puts it in a lot more modern language. Well, you read this from Exodus, and Moses gets behind a rock, and it's like, God, this is another fine mess you got me in. And God says, Moses, get off your knees. Take your rod, the rod of God, and go out there to the Red Sea and raise that rod, and I'll part the water. God just said, Mo, I will make a way. I'm going to make you a way. And so Moses says to the people, hey, stand firm. Don't be afraid. God has spoken. He has a plan. Now, I'm sure the Israelites are impatient. I'm sure they want God to hurry up. Well, folks, if you hadn't figured it out yet, you need to know God doesn't wear a watch. And let me say this, time is never important to God. Timing is always important to God. For you and me, time is the ultimate significance. Not God. He tells us, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. But timing. And what you discover is when you go where God wants you to go, you will hear what God has to say, and he will be right on time. So you have to understand, he will never part the Red Sea in your life until you get to the Red Sea. But when you get to the Red Sea, he will speak to your heart. I've shared with you, I think the greatest Red Sea experience in my life, and Mary's, is when we resigned our church in California and we didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know. I mean, I even considered going into the military as a chaplain. I was still young enough then to do that. We didn't know. I had all kinds of thoughts. But we did what God told us to do. And God spoke to us. And he called us here. And 30 years later, I want you to know that we are a living testimony that when you get to the Red Sea, God will have a solution. So I go where God tells me to go, and I hear what God tells me to do. I do it. I'm obedient. And then believe what God says he will do. Believe it. I go, I hear it, and I believe it. The Bible says here, the Egyptians pursued them. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his horsemen and his army, overtook them. Then encamped at the sea by Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal-Zephon. You got about 600 of Pharaoh's selected chariots. They are led by his best military leaders. These are the Navy SEALs. These are the Green Berets. This is Delta Force. This is the Army Rangers. These are special forces. And I read a sentence by one guy in a commentary on this, and I liked it. Pharaoh had Israel right where God wanted them. Pharaoh thought he had Israel right where he wanted them, at a dead end. But he had God's people where God wanted them. Notice what God told them. Face the Red Sea and forward march. Folks, never in the history of the world had one nation broken slavery by another nation without raising a sword, a spear, or a shield. They went in the power of God. Moses had never led an Exodus before. There wasn't a three-ring binder with instructions inside that said, step by step, here's how to do an Exodus. There was no Exodus for dummies. Moses didn't know. You couldn't look it up on Google. How do you do an Exodus? He went where God told him to go. He did what God told him to do. And God came through. Because God is always faithful to his promises. Moses stepped out there, lifted up the rod over that water, and God parted the sea. 2 million Israelites made their way across dry land, and the Pharaoh's army followed them like lambs to the slaughter, and the water came in. The divine dam breaks, and it covers those Egyptians. Whether it was 6 inches or 60 feet, they died. That's when the children of Israel sang another song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was in old Egypt town, but now Pharaoh's in the sea. I need to work on that one a little bit. But here's the beauty of it. This is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. They got out of this cul-de-sac. And what does God do? He leads them into the wilderness. He leads them into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he allows them to eat and drink. You need to hear what the Egyptians said in their last moments before they died. The Bible says in Exodus 14:25, and the Egyptians said, let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And for the first time in 430 years, the Egyptians acknowledged God. They acknowledged that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now Moses, was God Almighty. And even more than that, Israel came home. Remember, they had been out of touch with God for hundreds of years. And the Bible says, the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Now look at this. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, and here it is. So they feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. After over 400 years, they came back to believing God. What's the key takeaway? The key takeaway is, no matter if you have not gone where God told you to go, you have not done what God told you to do, God still loves you, will seek you out, and if you will go where he tells you today and do what he tells you to do and believe that he will make a way, he will make a way. Moses didn't have this figured out ahead of time. Moses had to wonder, what is God doing? He leads us here to this cul-de-sac. But he said, I have enough sense. Moses in his life, remember, he'd already been on the run. He had been preserved. It was Moses in that little baby basket in the river that Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out of. God helped him out of that circumstance. He had already killed an Egyptian and gone on the run. God helped him out of that circumstance. And Moses said, no matter what, in my life, I'm going to go where he tells me to go, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do, and I'm going to trust him to fulfill his promise. And folks, that is your choice today. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these moments right now, I can only imagine that some of us here are in a cul-de-sac. We are looking at a dead end. And while we don't look at Pharaoh's army or the desert or the Red Sea or the big Egyptian buildings, we can look at everything that stands in the way of us doing what you want us to do. Help us to know that when we can't see anything but obstacles, everywhere we look, we need to look up and we need to trust you. And go where you call us to go. Do what you tell us to do, believing that you will make a way for us and for our church. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
This has been a production of Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.